Hello, and welcome to Long Time No See, the podcast. Each week, we'll be pairing two blindfolded comedians who've agreed to sit down with a mystery guest. I'll be putting them on the spot with a series of questions about their careers, lives, and opinions. Without further ado, please remove your blindfolds and introduce yourself.
Hey, I'm Michael.
Hi, Andrea.
I have to be honest with you, I am so relieved to see a Jew.
Do you have any irrational fears? What's the worst fad you were into? Is there any job that you would be terrible at?
Underwater welder?
Don't say that about yourself.
Do you guys have any useless talents?
I kicked one of those delivery robots.
What? You kicked one?
Yelling. I kick those all the time.
They have names on them.
Good.
I can make smoke come out of my mouth with nothing.
Do it.
You want to see it?
What the f***? Are you a dragon?
Out now, Long Time No See, the podcast, season 2. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
To find out what's really going on behind the music, sometimes you have to dig deep. I'm Dr. Mike, and on the new season of Going There, we're doing just that.
Art or music can be your escape and your therapy.
Going There is the podcast at the crossroads of music and mental health, where we have raw, meaningful conversations with artists like Noah Kahn, Julian Baker, Jason Isbell, Youngblood, The Head and the Heart, and Bishop Briggs.
I recently heard someone describe grief as glitter, where you'll clean it up and then you'll find little pieces.
By opening ourselves up to these real discussions about mental health, we can foster understanding and gain even greater appreciation for the music we all love.
For me, like, my favorite songs give me happy tears.
So join me and some of your favorite artists on the new season of Going There with Dr. Mike, brought to you by Sound Mind Live and the Consequence Podcast Network. Subscribe wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Hey, football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown in the game, but his teammate scores instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you a second chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. With BetMGM's second chance offering, you have a chance to keep the fun going after the first player crosses the goal line. Try a first TD score wager with confidence today. BetMGM, make it legendary. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This specific promotional offer is not available in Mississippi, Pennsylvania, Puerto Rico, or Ontario. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 for New York. 1-800-NEXT-STEP for Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 for Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-ALL for Iowa. 1-800-981-0023 for Puerto Rico. Existing customer offer. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards paid back in unrestricted withdrawable funds. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
I'm Carrie Corrigan, and this is The Opus, an exploration of legendary records and their ongoing legacy. In our latest season, I'm joined by Lizzie Hale, Warren Zanes, Daphne A. Brooks, and many more to revisit Jeff Buckley's Grace. We discuss Buckley's femininity in an era of hyper-masculine alt-rock, how the record's mythology was shaped by his tragic death, and the delicate work of keeping his legacy alive. Find us at Consequence of Sound or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith With. It's an audio interview series presented by WFPK, Independent Louisville, at WFPK.org. Consequence of Sound and the Consequence Podcast Network. Of course, it's a podcast. That means you can subscribe to it. Keep up with all of the interviews that we put out every single week. And there are multiple interviews every single week with all of your favorite artists talking about their work. So hit that subscribe button wherever you get your favorite podcast from, including iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. And if you're already a subscriber, thank you so much for joining along. You can do us a big help and give the series a rating, maybe leave a review, or just say hi in the comments box. I'm Kyle Meredith. Today, my guest is Paula Cole. She is back with a brand new record. It is called Revolution. That is a title that means a lot in any era, but it especially means something in 2019. And we're going to get into all of the topics. What inspired her to put a planned jazz album to the side and get to work on all new originals that reflect what's going on in the world, but also one cover that made the record, a Marvin Gaye song that you know, Mercy, Mercy Me. We'll hear the story on tackling that very tall order and how Marvin Gaye's music and the themes connect this new record revolution to 1999's Amen, which in itself was a record that came out in a very interesting time, not just in the world, but also in Paula Cole's career. We'll also have fun talking about Haim recently covering a couple of Paula's biggest hits, I Don't Want to Wait and Where Have All the Cowboys Gone, how she teaches the new generation as a professor at the Berklee College of Music, and so much more. Talking about this brand new record called Revolution, it's Kyle Meredith with Paula Cole.
Hi, Kyle. It's Paula Cole. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks.
Congratulations on Revolution. It is great to hear this record again. We were a fan of ballads before this, but it's always great to have some original music from you. And it's a powerful record. So congrats on that.
I'm so appreciative that you're listening to me like well beyond the hits and you understand what I'm doing. Thank you.
Well beyond the hits. Well, I'll start with that title. That seems like an easy place there. Maybe some low-hanging fruit because that's a title. I mean, that's a word for our times for sure. But I feel like you probably have more in mind than just the big picture revolution.
Oh, certainly. It's all of that. I strongly believe in that quote by Picasso, artists are the politicians of the future. He was an artist who would immediately make commentary on the now, what was happening socially, politically. And it takes some bravery to do it because you definitely experience some backlash as I did with Amen. But I need to make music that's not just about myself. I've written lots of love songs, lots of kind of existential angst-ridden personal songs. I have a lot of autobiography, and I understand that the personal can be universal, but I need to express beyond myself in keeping with the masters and my heroes, like writing for healing. We need to talk about the planet. We need to talk about race in America. We need to honor women and having vision and dreams and equality and all these things. And some of that is personal. I mean, it lands in songs like Silent, which is the only song on Revolution that I write the lyrics out for because it's like a short story. And it's just understanding that at age 51, that silence is not working for me as a woman. It's something that's been passed through generations, and it doesn't work. It doesn't work for us women. We need to have our voices and let out some of the pain to heal. And then get on with an equal situation in this life. So it's all those things. Beyond Revolution, I have a lot of hopes and dreams. I mean, I hope to live a long life. And I've got ballads, too, on the back burner. And I want to write a book. And I have a couple other albums in my mind. I don't know why I have such a strong sense of mortality and purpose, but I do. So I feel the clock's ticking, and I have a lot of work to do.
Well, I appreciate the work that you're doing. You mentioned race in there, and of course, one of these songs stands out above a lot of the other ones because you've chosen to cover Mercy, Mercy Me, which can be seen as a lot of different ways. It's a great humanitarian song, but I wonder when it's sort of associated a lot of times coming, from where Marvin Gaye was coming from at that time, how do you approach that as a white person taking on a song like that, or was that even a thought?
At this point, it's not so much a thought because I started as a jazz singer and I've been worshiping at the altar of profound musicians that happen to be African American, for decades now, whether it's been Miles or Coltrane or Billie Holiday or Ella or Nat King Cole or Chaka Khan or Aretha and Tina Turner. And I could go on and on. These are my heroes. And I'm a white girl and it's been, complicated at times, but in a spirit of humility and learning, I'm touched by their messages, their voices, and to me, Marvin Gaye is just he was so ahead of his time. He felt the same. He didn't want to sing just love songs anymore. In 1971, he wanted to sing about the Vietnam War, and he wanted to sing about humanity and ecology and the planet, the health of species and biodiversity. He sang about that in Mercy, Mercy Me. That was so ahead of its time, and it's a song that needs to be heard now as we're like confronting environmental disaster and the extinguishing of multiple species in our generation. It's so frightening. It's so frightening, and we have to talk about it. Again, breaking silence. This is the theme. It's my one cover song on Revolution. Marvin Gaye is my teacher. He taught me and inspired me on my third album, Amen. He is teaching me and inspiring me now on Revolution. The race issue doesn't equate for me. I mean, I see it every day. I live it. My family has biracial members in it. It's personal for me. But because I've been a jazz singer, worshiping at the altar of the music, this is mostly an African-American art form, yeah. Lest we forget that I have great humility about this. I feel like more white people should be talking about this.
Right, right. Marvin Gaye, you mentioned, you know, was sort of the inspiration behind Amen. And I've heard you talk about like these two records, they do sort of go hand in hand thematically and musically like that as well. Is it an actual coincidence that it just happens to be exactly 20 years later?
Perhaps it, the anniversary made me melancholy or nostalgic. And also, Amen really marked a turning point for me. I made a different kind of statement after the hits on This Fire. I wanted to make my message more universal and social, political, and spiritual. And there was some backlash, and then there was kind of an anti-Lilith movement at the time, and there were different kinds of pop musicians coming up on the scene, like Britney Spears and Christina Aguilera and Backstreet Boys and NSYNC. It was much more pop, like uber pop, and I was a dark horse as it was anyway, but, you know, was kind of complicated. I was much more complicated and was known for the hits, whereas my back catalog is really where my heart lives, and it's very diverse, and I had a jazz background. I was a jazz singer, so I felt a bit misunderstood. I mean, hell, a whole lot misunderstood, even with Where Have All the Cowboys Gone? I mean, people thought I was being fundamental. There was no sense of understanding of irony or humor, right? By certain people, and like Rush Limbaugh, who loved this song, right? You know, it was very bizarre for me to think, you know, to realize that I was being so misunderstood. But you know, no matter, you love everybody, you're patient, and I just needed to step away from that version of how I was being understood. And I raised my daughter. I took an 8-year hiatus and came back. And I've been kind of working with my deep track now for 12 years. Is it 12 years? No. Yeah, since 2007. So 12 years. And I don't know if I probably strayed from your question.
No, it's okay. I like when they stray from the questions, when you stray from the questions. I'll point out, you know, very quickly, seeing Haim take on, you know, those two songs, the two hits like that, and playing them at their most recent shows. I mean, that also says a lot to what your music, you know, speaking over generations, you know, beyond just a time and place, you know, how they've related and how they keep going. I mean, I think that's got to be one of the big goals for any artist, is to have their song live on in that sort of way.
That's been profound to see the way it's been picked up by the next generation. Getting me finally, you know. And I was super moved by them, and they're just such like badasses. And also there's a group called They. Mm-hmm. They are an African-American duo, and they took I Don't Want to Wait, and they made this brilliant creation out of it. They renamed it Dante's Creek with a nod to the whole Dawson's Creek thing. But I love what they do. I love it so much. Sometimes I love it more than my version. But I see the song live on in the most unexpected ways through all walks of life. And that's true honoring. Sometimes I feel I wasn't understood enough. And it just experienced some backlash that was kind of unnecessary. I wanted to leave the music business, and I confided in Emmy Lou Harris, who was this great soul to me. She was grandmotherly in her love. She had wisdom like an old willow tree, and she just said to me, it just happened too fast for you, Paula. Like she said, I'm lucky. I had this nice long plateau. She's been able to keep loyal audiences and have her artistic statement that would swerve and give us cool unexpected Daniel and Wah influenced stuff. And then she'd come back to bluegrass. She's so righteous. I love her so much. And she said, you can't leave it. You know, she helped me stay on the path. I will always love her for that. I wanted to leave it for sure. It's hard to be a musician. It's hard to be on the road, not feel connected to your family sometimes. And then worse, like be misunderstood or so I've just got to be in it for the music and higher purpose. And I'm so touched that millennials are somehow like feeling it. I'm so touched by that. Gives me a lot of hope.
Well, and as a teacher, too, at Berklee College of Music, I mean, you get to offer tools to a generation that's sort of burdened in a way that none of us, you know, had to deal with growing up. And to give them, you know, the tools of how to present yourself through music. I think I'm throwing some assumptions because I think that's what you're able to do with that kind of platform.
You know, I definitely push them, and I'm tough, but I'm kind. So I'm always like, they need to write a song a week and they need to have high expectations on them and they need to write socially, politically and think about the world and beyond themselves. But it's also parental and loving and just helping them understand to not make the mistakes that I made or to be aware of some of the pitfalls of the business. But I learned from them too. Their openness, their willingness to break silence and not put up with a whole lot of bullshit. This is very inspiring for me, and it was instrumental in me speaking out in that song, Silent. Mm-hmm. I thank them in the album credits. My millennials, thank you to my students for inspiring me to break silence.
Well, and you know, I'll briefly just hit on a couple of the songs, because even just the titles themselves says so much. When you have the lead single with Go On, which I know has its own really interesting story about being 26 years in the making, and finishing it with just those three words, Hope Is Everywhere, you know, as the bonus track there, to be able to say Hope Is Everywhere in 2019, it takes a lot. It takes a lot, but you make it work in those songs.
Thank you, because I'm writing things that I need. I need these mantras. I need the words of Martin Luther King Jr. I need the words of the Buddha. I need a mantra such as hope is everywhere. This is what we need. We need to put positivity out. The news is so depressing. Trust me, I wake up at 4 a.m. worried about orangutans and elephants and, you know, the Brazilian forest. And I need these words in order to keep going. We need the sensitives and the love warriors. We need to perpetuate our energy so that we can make a difference, make a better place. So, yes. And I tried to make it anthemically dancey, right. You know, bringing out my Donna Summer. So that it was called, the engineer, Pete Min, he laughed and said, this is like prog disco. It's something that's really unusual, and I don't know how to qualify it. So it brings up like numerous influences from neo-soul and R&B to disco to, I don't know. But the point is, I wanted to get asses out of seats and for us to feel jubilant in our kitchens, right? And feel energized and dance and feel hopeful so we can make energetic movement, because nothing's going to change if we're a complacent society behind our laptops, addicted to Netflix and Amazon, right? There's not going to be any change with voting or environment or rights, civil rights, if we're just glued to our screens. So we've got to provoke and energize with positivity.
I think the answer there is amen. Amen to that.
I'm on the toot. Forgive me.
Paula Cole, thank you so, so much. Again, congratulations on Revolution. It is so great to hear this record. And everything that you're saying and singing about is so important. And I so appreciate it.
That's beautiful. And to be continued, and lots of love. Thank you. Thank you. Right. Thank you.
Thank you so much. And and take care.
Yes, you too. Right. See you soon, I hope. Mm-hmm. All right. Bye-bye.
A big, big thanks. Paula Cole, the new record is called Revolution. Before you get out of here, I do hope, if you're not a subscriber yet, that you do hit the subscribe button, iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, anywhere you get your favorite podcast from. And if you are a subscriber, thank you so much. Would be a huge help if you gave the series a rating or left a review or even just a comment as a hi, hello, and where you're listening from. After that, head to WFPK.org. That's where I do a show Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern. It's an hour of brand new songs, anniversary celebrations, clips from these interviews, and music news as well at 6 p.m. Eastern, Monday through Friday at WFPK.org. ConsequenceOfSound.net has your music and film news. You can also find me at Twitter at Kyle Meredith and Facebook/Kyle Meredith. And that does it for another edition. I'm Kyle Meredith. I'll see you next time.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Hey, football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown in the game, but his teammate scores instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you a second chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. With BetMGM's second chance offer, you have a chance to keep the fun going after the first player crosses the goal line. Try a first TD score wager with confidence today. BetMGM, make it legendary. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This specific promotional offer is not available in Mississippi, Pennsylvania, Puerto Rico, or Ontario. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 for New York. 1-800-NEXT-STEP for Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 for Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-ALL for Iowa. 1-800-981-0023 for Puerto Rico. Assisted customer offer. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards paid back and unrestricted withdrawable funds. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.